Brothers and sisters, how are you today? How many of you have kids like him? Is it easy? You ask my mother, is it easy? Again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Whenever I see kids like such as himself, who is so energetic, you know, and sometimes seems like don't care about any protocol or anything, I'm reminded of how in some monasteries I've encountered some similarly, some kids, yeah, when they come to a temple, they are so excited and they jump and they scream and they laugh and they, you know, prance around. I'm in a way reminded of myself when I was much younger, like themselves. Yeah. And like the kids that I encountered, I myself, when I was a kid, I got scolded by volunteers. So whenever I go to some temples or monasteries, and if I'm invited to teach the kids, I don't tell the kids not to run and scream or shout. Yeah, when I see them running around, I tell them, run carefully. In fact, in talks, in public talks I have ever highlighted, why are we so eager to make them stop running? Yeah, in a few more times, you have to pay him to run. It's called IPPT. So while he still can run and still want to run, why are we stopping him? Yeah. If you think about it, if running itself is wrong, then running should be banned by law, isn't it? But it's not banned. Yeah. So why do we stop kids from running? Because we are afraid of them getting hurt. Yeah. If that's all we are concerned about, then we should be telling them to run carefully, isn't it? Yeah. But of course, sometimes some people have an idea of how a temple should be. Yeah? A temple should be a serene place. Yeah? It's a sacred place, isn't it? So it should be solemn, respectable. People should just be seen and not heard. When they walk, they should just float around, hands here like that. You know, like the Korean or the Chinese drama, they walk. You cannot see the feet. Yeah. Should people walk around like that? And see Sifu, Amitofo. I don't know about you, but when I see children in Buddhist centers, lively and excitable, I feel happy. I feel happy because children are very natural, so if they don't like the place, if they don't feel at ease, they will not be playing. Yeah. So the fact that they feel at ease enough to play, yeah, I think that's good. Yeah. Of course, easy for me to say this. Not so easy for the mothers who have been facing the kid for the whole week. Yeah. But that's what Sifu is for, right? To say 讲风凉话. Yeah, to say the ideal model answer. But we are also afraid of losing them. That's why we try to give them a lot of advice in advance, you know, and so on. Now, before we jump into the topic for today, let's see if there's anybody who is new here. The left side, I think you have introduced already, right? Introduced already. Have you introduced yet? The lady with the golden hair. Have you introduced yourself to this class? Huh? Tell us your name and how you got to know about this class.
Oh, okay. My name is
Chong Chong.
Chong Chong?
Oh, so cute. Chong Chong. Ah, okay. Good. Welcome, welcome. So is your name like really Chong Chong or is it like a...
It's a nickname.
Nickname, okay. Chong Chong. Okay. So everybody say, hello Chong Chong. Say la. Never felt so welcome before, right? welcome, welcome. Let me see, anybody else on my left? Okay, everybody accounted for. How about my right? Right. Introduced before? Never, right? So she's very good. She never introduced me, but she still look around. Tell us your name and how you got to know about this group. Marcel, very good. Welcome. Yeah, so Marcel told me earlier that he's going to go and fetch his friends from the MRT. So you're the friend. Okay, good. So welcome to SGC, where we have puja, we have a bit of sitting, and then we have some dhamma. Today's topic is about losses, dealing with losses. Thank you. Okay, roughly. So dealing with losses, when y'all see the topic, what comes to mind? Huh?
Death.
Yeah, when we see this topic, we may think about death. Yeah. So death is a kind of loss. Loss to who? Loss to us. Who die? We die? So when someone close to us, yeah, a loved one, the loved one's death, yeah, we experience this as a loss. What are we losing really? Yeah, think about it. When a loved one pass away, a loved one die, we experience it as a loss. And our friends, our colleagues, and even some extended family may come and they express their condolences for our losses. Yeah. So what exactly are we losing? Yeah. So think about it first. What other losses comes to mind besides death? I mean, death is quite on the far end of the spectrum. Yeah. What else do we lose that requires us to deal with?
Jobs,
yeah. So sometimes it's not just about death. Yeah, death is something very grave, but in between there is our jobs. What else do we lose? Huh?
Memories.
Memories. In recent times, we are more and more acutely aware of something that we call dementia. Yeah. What other forms of loss of memories besides dementia? Sometimes a person may undergo a traumatic experience, an accident, and you can lose memories. But even without all that, yeah, over time, our memory sometimes fade. Yeah? Sometimes when you don't meet a person for too long, what happens? You can't remember the names. Yeah, you may remember the face, but then you cannot remember the names. Yeah, and then you're like, There was one devotee, he told me that, I don't know whether I should laugh about this, but there was one time, was it office or his house, to bring an invitation, yeah, Chinese culture. When your son or daughter is getting married, usually the parents will invite their friends, yeah, to come and rejoice together and celebrate. So the father or mother may sometimes, if it's close enough friends, they may go there personally. So this student of mine, he said one day, someone came to look for him, and bring Chinese called 请帖. An invitation letter, yeah, and usually it comes sometimes with a cake or with some gifts or something, yeah. So the person came and tell him and offer, give him the invitation card, and basically tell him that, you know, that the son is getting married. And then my student cannot remember who he is. Amitofo. Oh no, we are recording. But we are not going into names. When he shared, it was a bit funny, but when it happened, it wasn't funny. Yeah, in fact, when he said it, he said, like, oh, that was the most, like, he felt so bad, actually. Yeah, he felt so bad. Yeah. So loss of memories can also happen, not just because we grow old and have dementia, not because of accident, but over time. Yeah, sometimes you just don't meet that person for too long. You can forget also. What else can we lose? Come again?
Trust.
Okay, this is getting interesting. Loss of trust. Loss of trust. Trust is very important for relationship building. What else?
Faith.
Loss of faith. Well, when I wrote down this topic, I wasn't expecting so many things to come up. Okay, what else?
Girlfriend.
Okay. We may have to cancel the Diamond Sutra class that is at 3:30. Loss of girlfriend. Did you just lose your girlfriend recently?
Last year.
Really? Okay. Do you have a new girlfriend now?
Not yet.
Okay. All the young girls, take note. Yeah. Loss of girlfriend. Okay. How come the girlfriend become wider? Loss of girlfriend. Or boyfriend. Yeah, or all types of friends. Actually, do we lose the friend or do we lose the friendship? Yeah. Well, all these are actually about the loss of the relationship, isn't it? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, as long as the person is still alive, that person is still there. It's the relationship that has changed. Yeah. Anything else?
Things.
Things, yeah, material things. Yes. What else? Yeah, so very interesting point. You notice that all these things are things that we crave or cling on to. Nobody mentioned about losing weight. Yeah. Yeah. But nobody ever come to me and say, Shifu, I need counseling. It's like,
oh, what happened? I'm dealing with losses. What kind of losses? Tell me.
I lost 10 kg. I can't imagine. Yeah. You go to work and you see your colleague like, what happened? I lost weight. And you'll be correct. All these things are things that we hold dear to ourselves, things that we cherish. Yeah, death is not. It's not that we lose death. It's that we lose our loved ones. Actually, yeah, yeah. So in fact, the arrow should be pointing to our loved one. Yeah. Whether it's our loved ones, our friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, any kind of relationships. Yeah. If the relationship is not going well, then that loss becomes joy. Yeah. So not all losses are definitely bad. Like for example, when we are doing sitting meditation, yeah, and then there's pain. When there's pain, what do we do? What do you do when we have pain? Oh, you all don't know. Have you all not experienced pain when you all do meditation? Some of you, yes, some of you. What pain? There's two possible reasons. One, you never sit beyond 5 minutes. Or two, you're a really good meditator. So when we sit and if we experience pain or aches or discomfort, do we want to lose that? We want. So yes, when we talk about dealing with losses, this statement itself, in fact, it says a lot about our human psyche. That although we say losses, we only want to deal with some kind of losses. And why? Why is it that we want to deal with this kind of losses and we don't want to deal with the other kind of losses, such as, I'm going to use a different color, like if we lose weight. Relationships. How about if it's a bad relationship? Do we have to deal with that? Yeah. You, let's say, have a colleague that you don't see eye to eye. Yeah. Every time give you trouble. Yeah. And one day, out for tea, and you're like, do we really have to do this? Yes, please. I want to just, sit down with you and just have a chat. Fine. And then you go for a coffee, and then your colleague tell you, you're the first person I'm telling. I've decided to quit. And you're like... at that moment, you're in this conflicted mode, whether to express happiness or to like, but why are you leaving? Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you have a bad colleague, would you be happy if he leave? Unfortunately, or fortunately, or unfortunately, I think the honest answer is, we'd be quite happy, isn't it? Yeah. Dharma aside, this is really how we respond. Yeah, bad experiences, when we lose it, we are more than happy to lose it. In fact, in our mind, we're like, why only now? But because of the social contract, we cannot say that in person. So we're like, oh dear, what happened? And then in your mind, you're like, why didn't it happen earlier? Yeah. What other things? Before we go into the losing of the things that we cherish and hold dear, what other things would we lose and we don't mind losing besides weight and bad relationships? Feelings. What kind of feelings? Emotions. Ah, yes. Can we say in general negative emotions? Such as anger. If we lose our anger, we are okay. How about temper? Lose our temper. Of course, the expression losing our temper has different connotation. Yeah, it usually means that we lose control over our temper. Yeah. So, negative emotions, whether it's anger, fear, frustration, jealousy, if we lose them, we are more than happy to do it. Yeah. But the funny thing with some of these, such as negative emotions, while you're having it, is it easy to lose them? Not so easy. When you have weight, is it easy to lose them? Not so easy. When you are in a bad relationship, is it easy to lose them? Hard to say. Yeah, hard to say. But more often than not, not so easy also. Yeah. Yeah. Let's just go for one more. Something else that we'd be quite happy to lose. Is there anything that we'll be quite happy to lose? Sickness, yeah, sickness, good. Yeah. So, sickness as opposed to health. So, if you lose sickness, it means you become healthier. Yeah. And for the most part, we all are happy to lose sickness. But similarly, you notice that when you are having sickness, not so easy to lose them. Yeah. The things we don't want seems to be quite hard to lose them. The things that we hold dear seems quite hard to hold. Yeah. Our life is so messed up. So strange. And if you just look at the number of arrows in purple and in red, yeah, not very balanced, isn't it? Maybe we have one more. One more red to kind of balance things out. Anything, anybody can think of one more red color? Something that we lose that we'll be quite happy with, that loss. What else would we be happy? Huh? Sorry?
Defilements?
Wow. Lose defilements. Well, that's getting very model answer. But it's true, okay. I will give it to him. Defilements or the two of them, defilements. Let's see. Okay, lose our defilements. And before you all start telling me ignorance and everything else in between, okay, we all put them inside here, all the Dharma, negative Dharma stuff. Okay, what else? Anything else that we like to lose? Would you like to lose your mind? So I'll just leave that empty first. Then let's look at this picture. We have the items in red, which are the things that we don't really want. Yeah, bad relationships, bad emotions, weight, sickness, defilements, and so on. While we don't want them, and we'd be quite happy with that loss, but not so easy to lose them. And then we have the purple arrow, or blue, depending on how off the scale you are. You have the relationships that we cherish, our friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, our loved ones, whether it's lost through death or break of the relationship. And then we have things. You notice that things is actually interesting also, because it can be things that we hold dear, yeah. It can be things that we don't really care about as well. Yeah? Not all things, when lost, causes us to want, have to deal with. Yeah? Causes us to feel grief. If you lose 10 cents, will you fret about it? How about 20 cents? How many of you would fret over 10 cents? For that matter, how, would you know if you lose 10 cents today? Yeah? If you are, if like when I was in primary school, if I lose 10 cents, I know. Why? Because every day I get 20 cents. Way back, that was a long time ago. Yeah, that was quite the norm, the going market rate. Yeah, 20 cents, you can buy a bowl of noodle. Yeah, in the tuck shop, not outside. Outside was 120. Yeah. So today, I think if there's someone who managed to just go to your pocket and take 10 cents out every day, you cannot tell, you know, because it's so insignificant. Yeah. Now, if we were to just spend another 1 minute on this thread, how about $1? If you lose $1, number one, would you notice? Number two, would you care about the loss to have to deal with it? $1 besides him? No? How about $5? Now, then you start to include some of them and our poor NS boy. How about $10? $10 is going to make a difference in your life. Really, Marcel?
One meal.
Well, that's true. Yeah, sometimes it's about perspective. Huh? If you just look at the number itself, it doesn't mean anything. But suddenly when he say it's one meal, yeah, it's true. Huh? Yeah, and a fairly decent one in Singapore. How about if you go up to $20? $50. Do we see more hands? $50? $50? How about $100? Two blue notes. $100? Yeah. We can go up, and as we go up, surely more hands will raise up. Yeah. So the two questions, how much will cost us to find it significant? Yeah. Then, and just because significant enough for us to notice the difference, there's a gap between that and the point where you feel that you need to deal with it. Yeah. And in a way, the same principles can be applied to the other things, like relationships. Some friends, even when you lose the friendship, you don't know, you know. Yeah. Until one day you go and you happen to click on that person's name on Facebook, and then you find that, eh? How come you are not a friend anymore? Yeah. Of course, with Facebook, it's actually quite useful because at least you know whether you are a friend or not. But in real life, you don't know, you know. Yeah, so in real life, you randomly just, hey, that who, you call? Hello? Hey, how are you? That person, the best thing is when the person replies and is like, who is that? Yeah, then you know, oops. Perhaps the relationship is not what you think anymore. Yeah. So similar to the monetary value of things, there's actually these few markers, and I'm really simplifying things. The first marker is if the loss of it would make a significant impact such that you notice the loss. Yeah? And between that point to the next point, which is where it's significant enough that you feel a sense of loss, grief, and perhaps even anxiety, yeah, and a whole range of emotions that compels us to want to deal with it. Yeah, because anything below that, yeah, you know that there's loss, but you don't have a need to do anything about it. Yeah, so when we come to things or other items, not all of this compels us to feel a sense of loss strong enough, grave enough, that we feel that we need to do something about. Yeah. So, I want to share with you very quickly this sutta, Piya Jataka Sutta. I've shared this before. This is from Majjhima Nikaya 87. The story, or not the story, yeah. Sometimes I use the word story, and sometimes I feel that there's some connotation to the word story. A story is what you have heard, but may be fictional. Yeah. So sometimes when I talk about suttas, I like to not use the word story, but this account. Yeah. That there was this man, and he lost his son. Yeah. So having lost his son, he was very sad. And then at some point he talked to the Buddha and told him how he was filled with grief, he was filled with sorrow, and so on. Yeah. This sutta, born from
those who are dear. Yeah, piya jatika. So, piya is it means dear. Yeah, jatika is something loosely translated as born from. Yeah. So the Buddha, after hearing how he is filled with grief and loss, told him, "Indeed, that's to be expected. For grief, sorrow, yeah, suffering, and so on, these are born from those who are dear. Yeah, those who are dear to us. Yeah, from those who are dear to us, give rise to sorrow, lamentation, pain, despair, and distress." Yeah. And so when the Buddha said that, he was like, "No, those who are dear to us, give us happiness, give us joy, bring us much happiness, much joy. Why do you say that?" But in fact, it's what he's experiencing. Yeah. Now, if you were to skip ahead and then come back to this, you look at this, our loved ones, yeah, it's quite true. We think that our loved ones give us happiness. Yeah. But then when we lose them, then we have grief, we have sorrow, and that's why we have to deal with it. Our relationships, the good ones, good relationships, does it bring you joy and happiness? Say yes. Yes, of course. Otherwise, we wouldn't call it good. Yeah. If it doesn't give us joy and happiness, we call that bad relationship, toxic relationship. Yeah. Yeah. 早就该分手. Yeah. Things that bring us joy. You know, the recent, what's the, Marie Kondo. Does it spark joy? Or something, huh? Yeah. Mm. So likewise, for things, things that are dear to us, we consider them dear precisely because it had ever given us joy. Yeah, so if you really think about it, it's not that it doesn't give us joy. It must have given us joy at some point in time. Or at least we perceive joy. Or we have heard that it can give us joy. Yeah. And then at some point, maybe things have changed. Yeah, we change, the thing change, or we lose it, then what happened? No more joy. Yeah, no more joy. And instead, give rise to what? Sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress, and despair. Yeah. So what happened? So this man, after hearing from the Buddha, he walked away. Yeah, he don't agree with what the Buddha said, and he walked away. And he found himself talking to some gamblers in the market. And so when he saw the gamblers, people like to complain. Yeah. So in the Buddha's time, people also like to complain. So this man, he went around complaining to everybody he met. And he met these gamblers in the market, basically rant to them. Nowadays, we don't rant to people, we rant on Facebook. Wow! Have you all tried it before? It's quite fun, you know? Yeah. You don't always get the reaction you're expecting. Yeah. And when you look at the reaction you can have, you can write a comment, or you have like 4 or 5 icons. Last time it was only one icon, like. So it was very limiting. Then now you can like, you can laugh, yeah. You cannot smile. Can you smile? You can laugh, you can cry, you can be angry. Is there a fifth one?
Wow.
Oh, that's a wow in between. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So, imagine you post on Facebook complain about your job. You know, then when your friend put a tear, then you feel, yeah, I'm going through so much hardship. At least someone know. Then someone posts an angry face. then the person wrote, wow. I feel so angry for you. Then you feel, Then imagine a friend click like. Then you're like, are you liking the fact that I'm suffering, or you're liking the fact that I'm sharing? What are you liking? And if your friend posts, laugh.
jialat. So, in the Buddha's time, there was no Facebook. So this guy didn't go to Facebook. Yeah, instead, he went to the gamblers, and the gamblers agreed with him. He made a statement. Yeah, imagine if it's modern times, he would have posted on Facebook. Huh? This Buddha say that sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress, and despair arise from those who are dear to us. Yeah, what nonsense. Well, then these few gamblers, like. Yeah, and then even maybe write a comment. Ah, what nonsense. So he was very pleased, yeah, that he found his kaki. In today's time, it's the same, huh? Yeah, it's the same. When we encounter something that is unpleasing to us, we try to find affirmation. We share with this person, we share with that person, until we find someone who agrees with us. So sometimes that's how people deal with loss also. I say that this is how people deal with loss, not suggesting that that is the way to deal with loss. Yeah. We may share with people about our loss, yeah, and then they may offer condolences, they may share with us that. But good to check ourselves. Do we just seek affirmation? Yeah. I mean, sometimes if I'm really honest with myself, I realize I do that also. Yeah. I even see food sometimes. But sometimes when I'm aware, then I have to be careful. Yeah. That even if you share with your trusted friends or you know, those around you, just because they agree with your feeling, it is not their fault, you know, that they agree. But you must check yourself whether those feelings are constructive for yourself. Yeah. Because sometimes when faced with loss, there's a lot of rejection. Yeah. Because to begin with, these are all the losses that we don't want. Yeah. We have already identified clearly that there are losses we want, and there are losses we don't want. The times where we need to deal with is always about losses we don't want. So quite naturally, that's rejection. So if anybody who is suffering from losses say, no, I'm not in denial, I'm not rejecting, that's clearly second level of denial. Yeah, denial that they are in denial. Denial that they are in rejection. Yeah. So we have to first recognize that these are things or individuals or roles. Yeah, there are many other things actually, yeah, that we have not listed, but it's something that we want but we now cannot have. Yeah. But we now cannot have. So if we go back to the sutta, then this conversation eventually went to King Pasinadi of Kosala. And this king, when he heard about this, he was quite pleased. Ha! Finally, someone complained about the Buddha. Because not everybody in the Buddha's time agreed with the Buddha, you know. Yeah, some of them are like, haya. Like this King Pasinadi, before he even told his wife, he was having this thought. Let's see what Queen Malika will say. Yeah, because his wife, Queen Malika, is a very strong, ardent supporter of the Buddha. Yeah. In some texts, it says that Queen Malika has reached the first fruit already. Yeah, that means Sotapanna. So, of course, agree with the Buddha. But not agree by blind faith, not agree simply because it's the Buddha, but agree because she has seen the truth to a certain degree, yeah, to the first degree. So, the king then called for Queen Malika, then told the queen the conversation, yeah, that the Buddha said such a thing, and people are disagreeing. So then the queen said, well, if the Buddha said so, there must be some reasons. How do you think the king reacted? The king picked it. Well, what is this? Yeah? Yeah. Enough of this. Huh? Queen Malika, whatever the Buddha said, the Queen Malika will agree. Be gone with you. Go. Yeah, so this is what King Pasenadi said, like basically just tell her to brush her off. So Queen Malika went off, and then she thought, well, there must be some reason, you know, but she don't assume that she know the reason. So you see here, actually there's something else to realize. Many times we agree with people simply because we feel good about that person. Yeah, and if we hear something that actually we don't have any reason to agree, we will somehow feel compelled to come up with reasonings to explain for that person. Conversely, if we don't quite like this person or don't agree with this person, even when we heard any statement, we will somehow find reasons, yeah, to disagree, even though we don't know enough to disagree. But if you look at how Queen Malika reacts, as much as she's a Buddhist, she's a Sri Mentor, and perhaps precisely because she's a rich Sri Mentor, she don't simply agree for the sake of agreeing. Yeah. She holds her judgment. Yeah. She has faith that there must be reason, but she don't assume it must be some this or that reason. So she called one of the Brahmin to go to see the Buddha and seek a clarification. The clarification was done, came back. In the sutta, there's more detail. For more information, look at Majjhima Nikaya 87. Yeah, so the Brahmin came back and told her the conversation. And it was basically that the Buddha was mentioning that, you know, those who are dear to us, when we lose them, in fact, the truth is, we suffer, isn't it? Yeah. And so Queen Malika very wisely then went to see the king and asked the king, if your son, General Siha, if anything happened to her, to him, if he's sick, if he's lost in the battle and so on, how would you feel? Would you not feel worried for him? Would you not feel sorrow, lamentation, stress, despair, and distress and despair? Say yes, of course. And he went through a whole list of individuals, yeah, herself included, the other queen, the ministers, the people, yeah. And in each group, the king agreed, yeah, because these are dear to the king. So if anything happened to them, they would feel, he would feel a sense of distress. Yeah. So in the end, he agreed with the Buddha, yeah, that suffering arises from those who are dear. Now, if you are enlightened, just hearing this alone will help you deal with losses. Are you enlightened? No, so bopian, so you have to talk. Yeah, that's why the suttas in the Buddha's times are so short, because they are quite enlightened. So Buddha just 点到为止, then okay already. Yeah, they okay, can already. Yeah, in our time like that, then but still cannot leh, still cannot deal leh. Okay, then we go further. So, just now we have mentioned all these things. Yeah, these are things that are different color. So, these are things that are dear, things that are desirable, things that we want. Yeah, agree? Yeah? So, why do we lose them? Why do we lose them? Shifu, how do we know? I was doing my job, then company closed shop. I was doing my job every day, then headquarters from another country, they decided to do a reorg. So I got reorged. Yeah. I was happily using my phone, and then my phone just died on me. Yeah, I was happily using my boyfriend or girlfriend. Oops, okay. Not using. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I treat my boyfriend, girlfriend very nice, but somehow my boyfriend, girlfriend just disappear. Yeah. Were you nice to your girlfriend or not? You was. You were. Sure. So it's a fault, lah. You don't know. Yeah. We tend to think about, we tend to ask questions when we lose them. Yeah. But I want to get you all to think about another question. Yeah, which is, do we ask when we have them? Do we question when we have them? I think it was last year, in one of the class, Thursday class, there was this student. He has been attending the Thursday class for the past about 2 years. By now, this is the third year. So now he's like, there's quite a bit of progression in the past 2-3 years. But in the middle, he was having some bad health, bouts of bad health. So time and again, he would be perplexed and he will ask, I don't understand this. Why am I having this bad health? Is this due to karma? Can anybody tell me? What must I do? Can I stop it? Will it happen again? All kinds of questions, you know. Yeah. So one day during class, he raised this again and I asked him, I said, so how long has it been? He said 2 years. Yes. Yeah. And it's because he has shared with me quite a bit, it's not just like headache lah, you know, flu lah, on and off. No, it's quite severe chronic illnesses. Yeah, this, then that lah, this, whole series. Yeah, over 2 years. So then I asked him, so how was your health before that? And that got him silent for a while. And he thought very intently about it. And then after that, he said, come to think about it, I have enjoyed pretty good health for almost my whole life. And it's only until 2 years ago that I had this series of bad health. And already at that question, he's starting to see that and see the other side. Yeah, and I told him, I said, so for the past, is it 48 years for him? Let's assume it's 48 to make it a round number, plus 250. Yeah. So I asked him, so before when you enjoy all the good health, did you ever once wake up and ask yourself, hey, why ah? Not fair leh. Why am I having good health? Have you all ever, are you all feeling like you are in good health at the moment? Fairly okay, good health? When you wake up this morning, did you wake up like, how come I can breathe? Huh? How come I'm not having headache? Okay, maybe some of you are having headache. Yeah. Have you ever wondered? Like just now when we were doing breathing meditation, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. Have you ever thought, how come I can breathe? Why am I having good health? So I asked him this. And that got him really thinking. Yeah. So I told him, it reminded me of the 2008. The 2000, already it's 11 years, the Lehman Brothers. Yeah. I remember very clearly in the papers, in the news, a lot of auntie, uncle get interviewed, you know, and they are like, we don't know what happened. We didn't know that the principal will be lost. You know, there's a lot of, wow, question mark, how can this happen? Well, I don't say that we should gloat over their losses. But when I saw that at that point in time, one of the questions that came up, and I think some people also asked this question was, before that when they were raking in the winnings, yeah, when the broker sent them a check for 10K now, 20K later, do they like, hey, why? Why you give me 10K, 20K? Why? And that's the thing. When we have something good, we almost never question why we are having it. We only question when we are losing it. when we are having something bad, we question it. And we don't question why we should lose it, if we lose it. Why is there this disparity? Should there be this disparity? It's the same as what we have learned before about change. We want to grow up, but we don't want to grow old. Both are changes, you know? And at the back of it is the fact that we accept one kind of change and we don't want to accept the other kind of change. We like one kind of change, we don't like one kind of change. But life, reality, does it go around based on our whims and fancy, based on our preferences? No, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. When conditions change, things change. Sometimes the conditions changes in a way that is agreeable with us. And we as a result, think that fortune is shining on us. And we feel good about it. And of course, we accept it. We don't question it. Yeah, we rejoice in it. But that same mechanism of conditionality, is always in motion. And so the things that is dear to us, be it things, relationships, loved ones, jobs, faith, trust, and so on, the fact that we can have them is due to conditions, due to change. And if you accept this and you're happy with this, you must know that this is a double-edged sword, that the change can swing around and remove it and take it away. Oh.
听不爽了。上次有真要讲吗?
Yeah. Change happens due to conditions. Yeah. It's just that we usually don't see it in this way. Yeah. Especially when these are related to things that are dear, desirable, and is what we want. We don't see that it's due to conditions. Sometimes we even fool ourselves to think that it's meant to be. Yeah? And if it's meant to be, then it shouldn't be not be. And that's why we can't accept it. So if you ask me, I thought about this quite a bit. We can go by the Dhamma way. Yeah, but I'm going to just very quickly share with you the crazy way. You can deal with losses by a very simple method. You don't need to learn Dhamma and meditate. You just replacement. You lose things, you replace it. You lose memories, you replace with new memories. You lose faith, replace with new faith. You lose job, replace with new job. You lose trust, replace with new trust. You lose friends, you'll find new friends. You lose girlfriend, you'll find new girlfriend or boyfriend if you like. But can you replace everything? Cannot. Yeah. And then I thought about it. Why cannot? Can someone tell me? When it's a friend or a loved one, why can't you replace? Just different, ma. Yes, it's different. We want it to, isn't it? If you are having things good and you lose it, and if you can and have to find a replacement, you want to find an exact replacement. You don't want to find something that is like more or less. You lose an iPhone, you don't want to get a Xiaomi or what, you know? Yeah. Like you lose iPhone X and then your mother go and buy a pineapple phone. Yeah, when I was in secondary school, there was pineapple computer. Really? Yeah. Huh? You mean you all really have a pineapple phone?
No.
Just talking about her book with
Thomas. Ah, yeah, replace. But you see, the real trouble with replacement is not that you cannot find someone who is exactly the same. It's not, you know. I mean, how do you know? The trouble is, number one, it's too much effort to find someone who is exactly the same. Number two, even if the person didn't die, it's always changing. So how do you find that same person? You cannot find the same person. You can't. And especially when it's a relationship that is lost, conventionally it's the same person, but in reality it's not the same person. That's why the relationship disappeared to begin with. To want otherwise is to expect the person to become static, stagnant, and for all intents and purposes dead, ironically. Dead in a static way. Dead in a snapshot hibernation way. What we want is a very crazy notion of a static time. And that's why it's so difficult. And that's why conventional approaches to want to deal with losses by replacement is almost always met with little success, if at all. That's always something that's different. Because the fact is, even in a normal relationship that is not lost, it is ever changing. As to how it changes, that's a different thing. It may change for the better, may change for the worse. And many times, whether it's better or worse, it's really up to us as well. Because the relationship itself is not just about you or me. You know, it's not just about either person, but dependent on both person plus external conditions. Can you imagine that? It's like two person balancing on a steel bar on a tightrope that is, I don't know, like balance on something else. Yeah, multiple level of balancing. In Buddhism, the approach is not acceptable for many people. Because if you consider, the Buddha, when he left the palace, he wanted to find a solution to aging, sickness and death. He wanted to find a solution to suffering. And losses is a form of suffering. But his answer, his solution, what he discovered was not that there's any solution the way we usually think of. At the same time, it's not simply about resignation, resign to fate, no. But it's a clear appreciation and acceptance. No, I take my word back. Acceptance is not quite right. Acceptance seems to be about that how we feel about it matters. In Buddhism, it is about the realization and appreciation that this is the way it is. Whether you accept or not, it is still like that. But yes, many times we talk about acceptance, accepting that it's like that. Because when it's lost, it's lost. Like now, there's this cup of lassi. I asked for salted lassi, very nice kick to it. Now there's lesser lassi. In a way, a lot of things in life is like that, you know. You know the expression, you cannot have your cake and eat it. You cannot have your lassi and drink it. The moment you drink it, it's lesser already. Have you ever had a drink or a food or something that's so nice,
The first half of the cup, you're like basking in it. You're so excited. Like, wow, you can't have enough of it, you know that. And then when you reach a certain critical point, you realize, oh no, it's getting lesser already. And then you're like, oh, still quite a bit. When it crosses the halfway mark, let me remove this to be clearer. And then this is where you start to slow down. Because you start to realize that it's coming to an end. And you start to savor every single mouth of that lassi. And sometimes you just let it linger a bit and let the rest back. That's where you stop sharing drinks with others. So always share drinks with others before they reach the halfway point. Yeah. You don't want to be sharing drinks with someone where they are like a bit, then go like yeah, but eventually, no matter how slow, how much you conserve and how slow you do it, at some point you realize that it's inevitable. It's not a question of if, but a question of when. And so you decide, well, you're gonna go for the satisfying finish. And you pace yourself until you reach the point where you can just finish a whole mouthful at one go. Yeah. That was satisfying. Unfortunately, life is not as simple as a cup of lassi. Because many times there's no indicator when it's going to end. Whether it's a friendship or things. And of all the things we've listed, I think relationships is something that hurts us the most. And unfortunately, there's no marker, you know. Not like a cup of drink where you can see how long it's going to last. But imagine if all the relationships you have with people around you has an indicator. You see this person, oops, it's dry. Then, you know, your expectation is very clear. And this is part of the problem why we have difficulty dealing with it, because it's almost always that the kind of losses that is hardest to deal with is when it comes as a surprise. When you pick up the cup and it feels empty, it's like, how come it's... And then you realize that somebody has been drinking. And then you keep on going back to the cup, the empty cup with the leftover foam. And all you get is some remnants. When you're a monk, you get to do this. on camera some more. But as I always tell people, I'm a monk, what do I care, you know? And in many ways, this is really like a relationship. When it's over, when it is lost, it's like an empty cup. You can go back and you can sort of have a whiff of that lassi. And if you suck really hard, you can even fool yourself that you are drinking something. But after a while, you're going to get bloated with air and feel really bad. What should you do after that with this cup? Yes, that's the right thing to do. Yeah? No hard feelings. But when you're done, you're done. Or you can say, no, this is very precious, and I shall hold on to it. Who knows, one day, the cup may be full again. You can do that, but perhaps for a few hours, but because by the next day, it will become putrid. Yeah. Bad smelling. This would start to ferment. Yeah. And in many ways, the relationship will start to go in that way. If you keep holding on to it. Yeah. And worse still, you hold on to this and after a few days, you start to turn color. At some point, fungus will start to grow, mold will start to surface, and some of it will start to turn brackish. Yeah. And sure, you can always still, you know, to fool yourself like, no, I'm still in this. Please don't do that. It's bad for your health. Yeah. So yeah, if you need more information, go and buy a cup of lassi. Because in many ways, it's like that, you know. Because be it a relationship or things, yeah, they depend on conditions to come about. It's precisely because of this element of conditionality, of change, that things can come together. That if you think about it, before you were friends with that friend, you were strangers. Then due to conditions, you become friends. So if you accept and cherish the friendship, then you have to accept and cherish the fact that when conditions change, the friendship may turn another way. It may transform and enrich. It may not. It may not. To insist that it must, that's up to individuals. But that's not accepting the way things are. And that is what causes grief. But I'll tell this. I once told another student, she was having a bad, hard time with the boyfriend. I won't go into details. And at some point, I told her this, quite in the face actually. So be forewarned if you come to me for counseling. I told her, I said, do you know why you are feeling sad? She said, but of course not. I want to get back, and then he wants to get back to with me. And I told her, I said, no, that's not the reason. The real reason is because you're not getting things going your way. We are feeling sad because our ego is hurt. At the end of it, it's about that. Why? Simply because the person don't want to be with us, then we feel sad. Why? Because we want to be with that person. Think about it. I just hold that thought. I think about it. Now imagine another guy or girl that you're not interested in, and that person want to be with you. Do you feel happy? No. Now imagine another person we also don't like, and the person is also not interested in us. Do we feel sad with that? And then you compare with another person whom we have interest in, and that person also have interest in us. Do we feel happy? And then the person, another person we have interest in, but the person have no interest. Do we feel happy? No, we don't feel happy. You see, if you look at all this permutation, altogether there are four. Yeah, for those who are mathematically challenged. The common thing is, yeah, is whether we are interested, whether the two directions are aligned. If both are not interested, no problem. If both are interested, no problem. It's when you are interested, the person is not interested. The person is interested, you are not interested. Then there's problem. And why is that a problem? Because such an arrangement will go against your wishes. It's as simple as that. It's the same reason why when you go to a char kway teow store and want to eat char kway teow and it's not open, and like, oh, pyong eh, why like that? You know? Yeah, but there's a lot of other stores, no? All other stores, but if that day you happen to decide to want to eat char kway teow, see how it goes. This is the story of our life. Yeah, relationship in a nutshell is really about that. So, in fact, if it's a breakup, we should actually be happy if we truly love that person. Because we should consider,
What is love? It's care for the person's well-being, for that person's happiness. And if the person decide, you know, that the person don't want to be with you, maybe the person want to be with some other girl or guy. I mean, I don't know whether your girlfriend go with another girl or guy. Or maybe your girlfriend decided... Well, yep, yep, sure, yep. Yeah, who knows? Yeah, maybe now in Lanka, maybe in Myanmar. Yeah. At least still alive, right? And pursuing whatever he or she wants, we should be happy, right? If we truly care for that person. Unfortunately, our care for others, our love for others is never quite so pure. Pure is a strong word, but pure is the right word. Because it's oftentimes tainted by our own ego, our own, if I can use the word, vanity. Yeah. Because it feels good when someone show interest in us, ma. Even if we are not interested, we're like, hey, thanks for the, well, you know, I'm flattered, but, you know, yeah. Especially if the person is quite nice. And maybe you are vaguely interested, and like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. So if we are brutally honest with ourselves, then we can see what is the problem with the loss. Then we can face the loss. And if we can truly face the loss by seeing what is the underlying root, the underlying nature behind our response to that loss, then in a way we don't even have to deal with it. Yeah. The Buddhist way of dealing with it is, it's not that we don't do anything and that's our way. No. It's that you go and examine clearly what is the driver, what is the thing behind this negative response, negative reaction, that emotional reaction. Because when you truly see that clearly, then you don't have to deal with it also. It would have resolved itself. Oh, the other class is going to start. Yeah. So always remember, when you are facing some losses and you feel like, you feel sad, you feel, remember that whatever injustice, whatever unhappiness, whatever grief and whatever, always remember, it's the same as losing your weight. The difference is you don't want your weight. Yeah. So what's the problem? The problem is us. We want this, we don't want that. So I hope all of you get to lose more of the weight. I don't know, some of you may not want to lose weight. Yeah, lose more of your defilements, lose more of your sickness, lose more of your negative emotions. Yeah. But the last thing I want to highlight, this doesn't work. Whatever I've said doesn't work. It doesn't work if you don't spend time reflecting on it. It doesn't work if you just laugh and then go back and just go back to the usual mode. Until one day you lose something, then you try to use it. No, it doesn't work. You must be your own sifu, regularly reflecting on the things that you hold dear, things that you desire, things that you want. Before you even have it, you must start that reflection. Then, when you one day lose it, you will not suffer. In this way, then you don't have that problem. Otherwise, all the things that we desire, we want, that we hold dear, have this string attached. It is a double-edged sword. Born from those who are dear. 愿消三障诸烦恼，愿得智慧证明了。 普愿罪障悉消除，世世昌行菩萨道。阿弥陀佛，起立。